KNOM Update News. I'm Lorelai Kinneen, and it's 9:02. Almost 2 months after an economic disaster was declared on St. Lawrence Island, there's still been no assistance from Governor Sean Parnell's administration or the Alaska Legislature. Last May and June, thick sea ice kept hunters from getting to herds of walrus as they migrated north. Gamble and Savunga took just 370 walruses, a third of the yearly average. Paul Rokuk Sr., a member of the tribal government in Savunga, says walrus is the most vital resource for St. Lawrence Islanders.
Walrus has been a main source of income for people, or some kind of economy, subsistence economy for thousands of years. Walrus has been the main resource that's made our people survive on the island.
Compensating for all the protein and nutrients in walrus meat often means paying for expensive groceries shipped in to the one store in Savunga. But that requires cash. And with so few walruses, there's been very little ivory for St. Lawrence Islanders to sell to outside buyers. Ivory sales are one of the few options for the people of Savunga to convert subsistence resources into capital to buy heating oil, gasoline, and other necessities. Fall storms batter the community ahead of cold winter weather, and options for offsetting the abysmal walrus harvest are running out. Rokuk says people in Savunga have been coping with the loss of income through thrift. Nobody is certain what the coming winter holds for residents of Savunga and Gamble. That's partly because nobody remembers the walrus harvest ever being this bad. The communities are in new territory.
I don't know what the people will do.
Larry Kava is president of the Marine Mammal Advisory Committee. He remembers a winter in the 60s when an abysmal harvest led to airdrops of dried fish. But things in Savunga have changed drastically since then, and nobody knows what to expect. So far, the Norton Sound Economic Development Corporation has sent just under 8,000 pounds of fish to St. Lawrence Island, but that's the equivalent of four walruses. Otherwise, Kava says there's been no help.
There was a small shipment of salmon, and we had halibut. That's the only help we got. And they're all gone now.
Governor Sean Parnell's declaration of an economic disaster has been, at this point, purely symbolic. No real aid has come from the state yet, beyond simple recognition that the two communities, which are both classified as low income, are facing a potential crisis. Paul Rokuk says no aid effort has been made since it was pledged in August.
I haven't seen anything definite after the declaration, you know. I haven't seen anybody come in and start working as they promised with the organizations of the communities. Nothing has been done.
There's still a chance of getting late season seal and walrus meat into freezers as the mammals move south for the winter. Heating oil, additional fuel subsidies, cash, and food would all help the community in Savunga. Anything to chip away at expenses and free up cash to use for hunting supplies while there's still time in the season. And Alaska Native people from across the state will gather in Fairbanks this week. The Elders and Youth Conference will take place during the first half of the week. Many attendees will remain in the Golden Heart City for the annual convention of the Alaska Federation of Natives. This year's is the 30th annual gathering for Alaska Native elders and youth. Greg Bringhurst is the communication manager for Tanana Chiefs Conference in Fairbanks. He says the purpose is to bring many generations of Alaska Natives together to discuss various issues.
The important issues like culture, values and language, health, wellness, safety, land, law and policy, leadership, education, and kind of anything that's a current event right now for Alaska Natives and Alaska.
The conference is hosted by the First Alaskans Institute. It's an organization focused on community engagement and leadership for the future. Participants will attend 3 days of workshops and discussions. The conference is followed by the Alaska Federation of Natives Convention at the end of the week. Greg Bringhurst says AFN is the largest gathering of Alaska Natives for the year.
It's really like old friend, old family week, and people getting together, they're excited because there's traditional song and dance and drumming.
There's also an arts and crafts show as well as a potlatch. Bringhurst says AFN's 37-member board will also meet to discuss issues they've been working on all year.
The importance of the convention is really getting delegates together to talk about the tough issues that we're facing here throughout Alaska. And 2014 is expected to be a pretty interesting time, the political world, and a lot of that will probably be talked about as well.
Between 4,000 and 5,000 people are expected to travel to Fairbanks for both the Elders and Youth Conference and the AFN Convention. KNOM will air the AFN Convention live from Fairbanks beginning Thursday. And Representative Neil Foster spoke last week at NOM's Rotary meeting, providing an update on Alaska's legislature. The first item on the list, the state's budget. The budget deficit is forecast at $760 million. This number reflects the decline in oil production. It does not include revenue lost from Senate Bill 21, the oil tax incentive. Foster says this bill could almost double the state's deficit and is expected to decrease Alaska's yearly revenue by about one-seventh. Foster says deficit spending in the short term means smaller capital budgets, and in the long term means cuts in operating budgets. That is, unless Senate Bill 21 increases oil production. Foster voted against Senate Bill 21 and supports its repeal. Proponents of the bill argue the tax incentive puts money on the streets, helping businesses and jobs. Foster says those benefits apply to the rail belt, while decreasing the state's coffers. Rural Alaska depends on state coffers to fund capital projects like education, public safety, energy, and airports. In this new budget scenario, Foster says local entities like cities, IRAs, and nonprofits will have to align their needs and partner with each other when seeking state funds. Foster also spoke on redistricting. A new map of District 39 was proposed this summer. The new map resembles the district's previous borders. Think north to south, rather than the present outline of east to west.
Currently, this is what they've come up with, and it looks a lot like our old district, which I can tell you a number of organizations here in town support.
The Alaska Democratic Party and two private Fairbanks residents are challenging the proposed map. A judgment on redistricting should occur by December. As far as Arctic policy goes, Foster says he continues to voice the district's concerns on drilling and increased vessel traffic through the Northwest Passage. And as always, wanting to create solutions for the district, Foster encourages citizens to think outside the box and bring ideas to his attention. Foster ended his presentation outlining proposed legislation and responding to questions from the community. And a look at the price of gold today, down 40 cents an ounce to $1,318 even. An ounce of silver at $22.36, up 30 cents. It's currently 10 minutes after 9 o'clock.